MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
So how the hell are we doing, guys?
It is good to be back.
Good, man.
Trying to figure out what the hell movie Lee's got on in the studio here. Seems to be.
he was doing Leprechaun. He went on a leprechaun run for a moment.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, we had Leprechaun, a couple of them. Yeah,
yeah
Leprechaun
yeah, the
in
one
space.
With Ice-T and all of them.
Yeah. Leprechaun in the hood.
Yeah, a lot of leprechauns in this scene I'm watching right now.
Leprechaun in the hood.
Y'all see the leprechaun say, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that news story with the amateur sketch? Do you know what I'm talking about? I remember hearing that, but I'm not...
Oh,
clear.
Man, I'll try to find it. It was one of the better stories out there.
Leprechaun, let me hear you say yeah.
So I missed you guys. How's everything going? Everything, we all good?
Smooth, good, man. Yeah. Smooth. You know, the house isn't burnt down or anything like that. You ain't got to
clean up. Yeah, we're still here.
Messes. Yeah.
We didn't get fired yet.
No, well, bam. Listen, you know, that's why I'm here. We'll go ahead and we'll change that. The ratings will take a dip, and then, you know, we'll get everybody in trouble here at some point during the course of the show. But
I don't think that'll happen.
By the way, you guys remember when the NFL just kind of stayed out of the way and said,
you remember
you know
when
what?
The NFL was the NFL?
Well, you know? I mean, there's that, but there's also the NFL kind of said, you know what? We'll play nice. We'll let you have Christmas Day. All right. We'll let you have it. You guys just, you know, go ahead, put on your five games, and we'll let you have Christmas Day. And then it's almost like the NFL the past couple of years just said, yeah, we're not going to go ahead and play that game anymore. And so the NFL is now going to have a couple of games coming up on Christmas this upcoming year. They had Christmas games, a triple header this past Christmas. And it feels like the days of that day just being handed to the NBA by default and the NBA kind of rolling with it are done. And the NFL is, despite Roger Goodell saying, well, this is just a one-off. We're not going to play games on Wednesdays regularly. But unless it's Christmas and we've got Christmas on a Wednesday this year, and goodbye NBA on your solo treatment of Christmas Day moving forward. Pretty fun, man. It's pretty fun. Good for
that. I think
NFL.
It goes to show you that was one of the higher rated games all season, Christmas Day for the NFL. But it's not even just that. It's also they've moved back the trade deadline a week. That's moved back to week 9. If you look at where that hits, that coincides with roughly about the beginning of the NBA season. Now, I don't think that's the intent of the NFL. I think that move actually signals the fact that they're going to get to 18 games. Because if you think about it, the trade deadline was at week 8, which used to be 16 games, and now we're at 17, and they want to move it back an additional week. But I think that lends you to think that eventually they're going to get to 18 games, so it'll be once again the halfway point of the season. But still, it does kind of trample on a little bit the NBA, the beginning of the season, and now Christmas, which the NBA used to think, for whatever reason, they had a stronghold or a stranglehold on that, which, Merry Christmas. No, you don't. Here's your lump of coal, my friends.
Yeah. At least there's still something getting trampled or getting tough and strong-armed. I mean, is that why they're making the game so much softer? So they can keep playing all year? I mean, they're going to play all year long now. Ain't nobody getting jacked up. So, you know, just keep playing.
Do you think the hip drop tackle is a long-term, or is it just going to be like a trial run like the pass interference penalty that was a few years ago?
I think they're going to continue to legislate the game. I think they're going to for obvious reasons. And those obvious reasons are they have to continue to address the brutality of the sport, the long-lasting impact of the sport. And it's not just the here and now, like, okay, you're losing players to injuries due to certain things that are taking place. I just think that they're staying politically sound in things that they're doing. And that's what it's going to be. And that's a brave new world. I mean, there have been rule changes, you know, since forever. There's always been rule changes. But I don't know. For me, it just, as a former player and someone who watches the game and enjoys the game, I don't know, man. I just think all these new rules, I don't come away from it saying, oh, this is turning the game into like a way, way better game. It's like a way better game to watch now. This is so amazing to me. Like, I just think to myself, my career would have never been, most of the people that made football popular and people love would have never been. It just would have never happened. For the defensive side of the ball, you wouldn't have had Lawrence Taylors. You wouldn't have had Ray Lewis's. You wouldn't have had, you know, the Ed Reeds or the Troy Polamalu's. You wouldn't have had them because everything is breaking a rule now. Everything is 15 yards now. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's strange to me.
I am cautiously optimistic. Okay. For this reason, you know, they state that it's not going to be called quite as much as we think. And now the players are made aware of it. I do think defenders will adjust and they won't. I mean, they'll just miss tackles. That's really what's going to come down to. And they're going to go to the sideline and they're going to say, well, what happened? I missed a tackle. I didn't want to get a penalty. I mean, Do you guys remember when, I think it was Marcus Williams for the New Orleans Saints, kind of misjudged the ball that became
and
the
ran right past
miracle.
Him.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, he tackled a ghost.
But don't you remember, like, that was a byproduct of kind of like how things were being officiated then? And he is like, yeah, now that was kind of in the back of my mind. Like, that's the alternative. Like, you're just going to see some bad
wild
plays
looking
from time,
stuff.
Yeah, some wild stuff from time to time. But I don't know that we're going to see it as often as I think people think. And I do think defenders will try to adjust, and defenders will try to make it right. So that's where I'll kind of
leave it. They always do. We always do, but I don't know, man. It's getting to a point of where it's getting real slim to be able to well, it's time to adjust. Like, I can't catch him. Yeah. Like, all right, now I caught up to him, but I,
what do you want me
like,
to do?
How am I getting down?
You got dudes running the fastest 40s we've ever seen coming out.
Like, you want me to perfectly tackle a dude that's running track star speed? Like, okay, thank you. We'll take it from here. No worries.
So what do you do? Like soccer trip him? Like, you go with your feet? And
you're going to get trouble for that, too. It's illegal.
I mean, so what is there?
It's not to do.
Yonis! You got to try to figure it out. Yonis!
I don't think that, by the way, if I had a dollar, if I had a peso every time I heard that at a family.
Yonis!
Could have retired by now. But there is that also.
You are in if they hit you with that.
It's a small world after all.
Oh, hey, best part of the
it's a small
best part of the park. 5 minute wait. Go through, ride on boats.
Yonis!
That's all we need.
That's how they be hitting him.
It is.
Yeah. I try to get Jonas fired up a little bit because he needs it.
What do you think, Jay?
Jonas, how do you think it's going to change? Do you think it's going to have a huge impact?
I think there's going to be a couple of disasters. I think later in the year, people are going to throw their arms up and say, well, I don't know what you want me to do. And I don't think it's going to go well. And I think it's going to be a one-year experiment, and they're going to realize we kind of overshot here. Like, I think it's going to end up like the pass interference penalty.
Here's the only reason why I feel like the NFL can always make these subtle tweaks to change it. Like, they just won't call it. They'll just be like, well, it doesn't fit exactly the style of tackle we talked about. If they do feel like it's becoming an issue, that's the first thing. Like, don't you recall, like teams stopped even challenging pass interference because they knew it wasn't going to get overturned.
Yeah, it was a waste of time.
Like, they realized halfway through the season, they're like, this was a bad idea. We implemented a bad rule. Let's just make sure everyone knows that it's probably not going to happen unless it's egregious. Like, we implemented this review process for pass interference for what was egregious missed penalties, like we saw in the Rams Saints, you know, NFC Championship game. Like, that's what we put it in place for. And then we started getting coaches who challenged, like, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't quite that bad. And it became a little more gray. This would go somewhere similar to that. The only thing that makes me think it could go away would be the fact that the NFLPA was not pushing for this particular rule. It was purely the owners who were like, no, we care about your best interest. We've got billions of dollars, yet we're not willing to install grass fields. We'd rather just have field turf because it's way cheaper, even though it's not better for you.
Don't tackle incorrectly on that.
That's right.
Artificial turf.
That's right.
You'll get hurt.
That's right.
Your foot will get caught in the turf, so don't tackle in that way.
We put in this this rule now. You get penalized. Heck, you know, we're going to go as far as fighting you just so we get some money back from you boys. like that's essentially. But that's where we're at, right? Like, instead of really addressing issues for player safety that impact a greater multitude of issues or injuries in players, we just go, oh, hip drop tackle. Yeah, that's what we want. The NFLPA is like, no, okay. Yeah, we have no power to do anything. But if there was one rule that could be rolled back, yeah, sure. We'd be fully in favor of that.
Yeah, but the best part is, if any of these calls get made in the Eagles opener on a Friday night, it's going to be in Brazil, and it's going to be on the cock.
And nobody,
the old Peacock right. app. What? That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you were a big fan of seeing fans at Arrowhead Stadium lose body parts in sub-zero temperatures,
if you're a big
on
only
the Peacock
fans.
App,
yeah.
Congratulations, you're going to get it in Brazil.
It's going to be on the what?
Sao Paulo.
And ain't nobody going to be caring about no hip drop tackles or anything like
why,
that.
Why is that?
There's going to be some hip drop tackles in the stands.
Why not, Mark?
And you don't never hear that at no football game, but you're going to hear this. You're going to hear it at this game. Ole, 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 ole. And I wish I'd be right there with them. I want to be right there with them.
Yeah, are we efforting that? Is that happening? Yeah.
I want to be right there with them.
I am sure Don Martin will break out the big bucks to send us to something like
that. It is a Friday night.
I want to be right there with them.
Are you going to be able to take the PJ to get to wherever you need to go for a big noon kickoff the next day, Brady? It's a Friday night game.
Damn, why you put me on blast like that?
Well, I'm just saying.
Jeez.
I mean, he ain't lying.
What's the date of this one? Is this week one NFL?
Week one. Week
you ain't
one
hear
NFL.
Him deny
yeah,
it.
There's definitely not any chance. No. You don't. That's a long flight to get down to Brazil.
13 hours.
Long? Yeah.
13.
You ain't taking a PJ to that.
That's enough sleep.
Yeah.
How many days we going to be there? 13 hours of sleep. That'll do.
Why, you only sleep it on the plane? That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're not getting LeVar back.
Nope.
We go to Sao Paulo. That's it.
Everybody, I love him.
It's a wrap.
I'm going to miss him. I ain't never coming back.
It's going to be a good time, man. The NFL's back.
They say you got to be careful there.
Lat's back, man.
Yeah. Good to be back.
He's back, man.
Good to be back.
Good to have
him.
Just could change their stripes in Brazil.
It's good to have.
they could have leopard spots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be careful.
Got to be careful, man.
Got to gotta check your surroundings. And, you know.
But if you're going to go, I tell you what, I will give you the remedy as soon as we go to the break.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll
hit into Brazil.
Well,
want to protect that MVP status?
I want to get away.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Kumho tires. Shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was looking into possums. Lee Delap was throwing out a bunch of fun facts about possums last hour. Okay. And, yeah, they can get, I mean, it's rare, but they can get rabies.
Yeah, I sent a clip to Lee. Lee most likely Google searched, and the first thing he found was the Humane Society, which they tend to paint certain animals in a very favorable light. Like, yeah, a wolverine, they'd be like, oh, it's not that harmful.
Yeah.
It won't rip your entire face off, but it will.
Feel free to feed it. You know, like, everything's fine. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You can give it a potato chip.
Possums can be nasty, I'm telling you.
They have a lower body temperature than most because it's a marsupial, so therefore they don't carry rabies.
Thanks for reading the text I sent you, Lee.
Well, I'm reading the text that you sent me, but I actually knew that already. I did not get it from you. Yeah.
But then, Lee, did you know that killer whales are actually porpoises?
Yeah. I actually learned that from you, Mark. Yeah. And then I looked into it, and you were right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I just look at this and I go, if they've got to write up multiple articles to try and sell you on how docile and cool possums are, then that's something that if it comes into your home, deserves to get lit up. Yep. And that's
you're
one of
so,
the...
You're so non-violently valent. You're not valent.
If a possum goes in the house...
You're peaceful.
Okay. All right. Lock me and a possum in a room together. Who's coming out alive? Especially if I've
both
got like
you.
If I've got some nunchucks, a half stick of dynamite, and a shiv. You don't think I could take care of business?
You're just talking.
Please,
you know
man.
What you would do? Like, listen. I've seen the way you handled roaches. You give roaches grace. Let alone now. I will say this: the one that you would have to be worried about if a possum came in is Lee. I seen Lee obliterate a bat's head.
Yeah, but
dog.
He didn't
kill that bat. Man.
Yeah, but he didn't mean to.
He was chasing that bat down, bro. Whether he meant to or not. He was the only one that was about that business to get that bat. You know what you was doing? Sitting your ass down and not. Oh, look at the bat!
First
look
of
at
all.
The bat. You know what I was doing? Ah, look at the bat! It's going to turn into a person. It's Count Dracula.
Yeah.
Ah!
But- Lee can't come out and commit bat slaughter and then try and claim that it was intentional afterwards.
It
that was
doesn't
an accidental
matter.
Death.
He went out there and got right. in the trenches. That's all I'm going to tell y'all. He got out in the trenches, and the end result was a bat that had its head smashed off. I mean, that's just what it was. All he right. did it.
Well,
and that's how I know you ain't about that life, Jonas. You talking about all this. If it was a possum, da-da-da. You saved a roach. I've seen you do it on numerous. Like, what did you do with the roach? You said, I'm returning him back to the street.
I didn't
where
save
he came
the roach.
Nah,
what a lie.
You
I did not save a roach.
Like, you said, look.
I escorted him outside. I escorted him outside. And I said,
right
I escorted him outside and I said, hey, go wake up the security guard. We need some help in this building. That's all I did. There was no saving. I was trying to put him to work a little bit here. So. Uh-huh. And by the way, I'm letting every possum know that's listening, you come into my house and you're going straight in the garbage disposal, and I will turn that switch and I will chew that thing up.
I saved a baby possum once.
Did you?
Yeah, nursed him to health and everything.
How'd you nurse him to health?
Well, he was out in the rain. He was abandoned by the mom. It was a baby possum. Brought him in, gave him some milk. And returned him to like
was
some.
Was it whole?
I need a visual. How did you give him
more
milk?
Calcium than milk?
Hold on a second.
How did you give him milk? Milk?
Hey, wait
did
a second.
A bottle?
Is this Todd's origin story? Like, what are we talking about?
Did you breastfeed?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Lee breastfeeding?
Went ABF.
Damn.
I learned that term today, ABF.
He said this was Todd Lee's their story together.
Brady has to be breastfed the possum.
I'm just trying to picture milk anything.
I'm trying to picture Lee nursing this possum back to health.
Yeah, I got a little towel, a little box, you know, got him all warm and dried him up, and then I forget who I called, but I called.
What
somebody.
Did you feed him with? How did you feed him milk?
Yeah, what type was it? Similac?
You don't,
what,
here's the thing, like, bro. You don't have any bottles lying around, all right? Trust me.
That's true. It was I forget how I did it. I think I got it like a damp. I got a rag damp with milk, and then I kind of like put drops in them. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, I forget how I did it.
He gave it a white
and
Russian.
It lived.
Oh, I don't know how long it lived, but I got somebody came and took it.
You
they
gave
probably
it,
just threw it away.
You gave it half of your white Russian and counted that
don't
as milk.
Don't mess with my possum, man. Are y'all not listening to what this man just said? I just dipped it in milk and was dripping it.
I forget how I did it.
That possum's dead.
He's long gone
in possum heaven.
That was a brutal death for that possum.
I rescued a baby.
He was probably doing
you didn't rescue
there,
that possum. You sealed the fate of that possum.
You actually stole from his family.
That could have definitely happened. I don't know.
Dang.
Yeah, well.
Alrighty then.
Hey, now we know. Now that concludes our conversation.
We've cleared it up. Possums.
And by the way, is it possum or opossum? Why do they try and make them Irish? That's the part I don't understand. Is it? It's a possum. Well, because like some people call it an opossum, and then other people call it a possum.
I've
like,
never heard it called an opossum.
Well, it's spelled like opossum.
I just don't understand how they're marsupials, but they look just like rodents.
Right,
it's like a bigger version of a rodent. Like what makes it a marsupial over a rodent? I don't get it.
Like a koala, looks like a marsupial. Like,
how
that's
is that a bear?
You want to hug it.
I don't
a possum,
it.
I just want to throw in a wood chipper. Like, I have no interest in getting close to it,
nice.
Feeding it milk, nothing.
They don't, man, they're very horrible, like, road kills, too, because they already look dirty and mingy anyway. Like, it's just like, ugh. And you feel bad for them because you're like, that possum is not, like, I'll see them out at night when I'm driving in the woods. Like, you're not going to make it, bro. You're just not, like the worst place for a possum to be is, like, crossing a street for some reason. Like, they're, like, they're the ones, you know? They're the ones that get it unnecessarily. I don't know.
No.
Sad, man. Yeah. Shouts out to all the possums out there, man. Y'all be careful out there, man. Stay up.
Possum.
You know, stay up. Be safe.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Look both ways.
Look out for Lee trying to snatch you, by the way, too.
That was the truth of the story now. Lee is a possum snatcher.
Damn. Wow.
What else you doing with them possums, Lee? Right, a lot of information coming out on people these days.
Is there?
They ain't living right.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Trying to find that pouch.
Jesus.
What
the hell did you just say?
See, the truth. Look.
I'm looking at marsupials.
You're trying to get up in that pouch? Is that what you said?
That's what he said.
Damn.
That's
damn,
what he Lee. Said. Dang, Lee.
You're out here trying to.
No.
I almost said it.
Hey, be ready, Lorena. You haven't had to dump us yet.
I know.
It's coming.
I've been on my best behavior.
Pouse.
That was gross.
All right. So from hey, so Brady, you've done the math on this. Tom Brady's veering close, or I don't know how close, but trending towards being a billionaire. Is that what we're looking at here?
I heard from a bird that his big thing right now in life is just trying to be a billionaire. And he's going to get close to it when you're making $37.5 million a year over a 10-year deal with Fox. At least that was what was reported. That'll get you there. That'll help get you there. But what's really become a storyline that hasn't got enough attention, in my opinion, is Tom Brady and Mark Davis, as we know, they're buddies, and Mark Davis has agreed to let Tom Brady invest into the Las Vegas Raiders for, I believe it's 10%, that of which I think Tom Brady will have 7% of. So he's got a group that might be coming along with him, or some other folks that might be investing with him. But if you do the math on all of this, and if we're saying that the franchise for the Las Vegas Raiders is worth $5.8 billion, that would lend us to look at Tom Brady then and saying he's essentially been able to invest that 7%, which comes out to about $406 million of equity of the $5.8 billion. So when you're talking about being worth $1 billion, yeah, I mean, there you go. He's got 7% of equity within the Las Vegas Raiders, which gets you to about $500 million. You put on what he already, you know, I don't know how he's financing this. I don't know if he's done cash, if he's, you know, got some other people he's raising it with, whatever the case may be. You're putting your money into things that, you know, will appreciate in value over time. You'd have to imagine, too, this puts him in position to become a majority owner of the team. If Mark Davis doesn't leave, it's anyone else. So maybe he's looking at Tom Brady being the one to take over. And so if he gets a majority stake of this team, boom, there you have it. He becomes a billionaire. So if that's his biggest goal, this is a giant leap to close to putting himself in a position to become a billionaire.
Do it right. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Do the quote.
This is one small step for Tom Brady.
Small.
One giant leap for NFL football kind.
Yeah, there it is.
Because it also opens the door to the thought that if Tom Brady can, now granted it is Tom Brady's the greatest ever, but if he can, maybe there's some other players too who have relationships with owners where they can get these, you know, minority equity stakes. And eventually this could roll over into a player wanting to, you know, own the team and put together a group to own the team.
So. Doesn't John Stallworth have a piece of the Steelers, and Warwick Dunn has a piece of, like, the Atlanta Falcons? I know there are – I mean, those are the first two that come to mind in terms of guys.
I don't know. I do not know that.
Yeah, if there was one guy that I would say – there's two in particular, actually, outside of Tom Brady, that would be three. But Curtis Martin, if you've ever met him and know like how he's moving, I would think that he would possibly be a first, like one of the first to be a former player that becomes a majority owner. And Warrick Dunn. Warrick Dunn has quietly been that guy in Atlanta for quite some time.
He spent $9 million of his own personal wealth to get a 1% share of the franchise.
Who's that? Warrick?
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. So,
which is like kind of like I look at it like that's a small step for you know your I don't want to say your kind that would have came off incorrectly. I'm just not going to try to say that quote at all. I'm going to leave that to Q. But I'm just saying that's a pretty cool. It's a pretty cool approach. If you ask me, because you get that 1%, you're building a relationship with a guy like Arthur Blank, and who knows where that goes? You know, he's very beloved, he's very respected, the city respects him, and who knows if that becomes a situation where he's like, you know, we're gonna lead this team to you. Now I don't know how that works, but
do you know how much his investment is worth now?
How much?
$47 million.
Dang.
The Sweet. Atlanta Falcons are currently, this is based on Forbes' estimation of the value of the franchise, they're estimated to be $4.7 billion. So he's turned that $9 million into $47 million of equity value.
Good for him.
Over a little over a decade and a half.
I mean, I would assume that would give you the chops to be able to bring in a group that would go in with you to become the owner of the team. And you would have the inside track of getting approved by the ownership to be the owner of the team. That's what I would assume. But anyways, back to Tom Brady. That's a guy that you definitely – there's no way you'd look at Tom Brady and say, okay, he wants to become a millionaire. And if it's through doing it with ownership of the Las Vegas Raiders, if it's doing it through, you know, a new way of drinking, you know, pure juice from a vine or from a tree or whatever it may be, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Tom Brady's got that it factor. I'm a big fan of Tom Brady. I've always been. I've never made any type of any. I've always been very upfront about my man crush on Tom Brady. So I wish him well. I hope he gets there because as he does well, you know, guys like us get to claim him and continue to claim him, you know, because I'm great because he was great.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just how that works. And if you were wondering why I say that, we're litter mates. You know, he came out in my draft.
You guys were in Lee's possum box together.
Yeah. He's, you know, it's his draft.
You're in Lee's
now.
Pouch.
It's his draft now. But when we were getting drafted, it was my draft and Courtney's draft, you know. But now it's Tom Brady, you know, and he sadly represented the last player of our draft class. When he retired, that was it. We're all gone.
Yeah, but you guys had a good run, you know.
We did have a good run.
Over 20 years, not bad.
We did have a good run, and we have the greatest, the GOAT.
And maybe I'm not looking at this from a business standpoint and more from a personal standpoint when it comes to Brady, but are you surprised that this has been set up for him with the Raiders and not with Robert Kraft and the Patriots?
Like
that,
I am.
Like that, you know, if you wanted Brady to be the successor in ownership with the way Robert Kraft talks about him, like you couldn't find anybody better to take over. Or maybe Brady just thought the business opportunities were greater in Las Vegas and that was part of this. I know he was trying to get there back in 2020. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why the Raiders make sense to him and not the team that he played so long for that he has such a close relationship with the owner already.
Like, does Robert Kraft have a lineage he's going to pass the team down to?
Well, yeah, I mean, but does Mark Davis have – he doesn't have kids, does he? That makes sense.
I
don't know, but
probably what makes the most sense. Like, you're positioning yourself to be able to have a crack at it, and you probably want to deal with someone who might not have anyone to pass it down to. So,
yeah, to Lavar's point.
If I'm not mistaken, Kraft has like four sons.
So bring it on home. Bring it on around. I know you heard me. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead, Jonas.
I mean,
You know it is.
If Mark Davis keeps it up, I mean, who knows?
Tom Brady could have some. Keeps it up. It's a matter of if he doesn't or if he does. It doesn't matter. He's doing well in that category.
Yeah, okay. and hard to keep track of. You know, there's no reason to try. The
just,
entourage just he's got with him.
I respect it. They came out with the movie, some of
the notes that come out about Mark Davis. Like, he claims to be a food connoisseur, and his favorite restaurants include Dan Tana's in L.A., which is like, it's good Italian, but it's also like, I don't know, like I don't want to say it's touristy, but yeah, it's just well known, right?
Right.
Joe's Stone Crab in Miami. Oh, of course. Yeah. Like, that's like the spot for stone crab and seafood down there. And then P.F. Chang's. It's like, all right, you picked like the two most touristy spots on each side of the coast, and then you've got P.F. Chang's. Gotcha.
By the way, Petros, I've heard him talk about Dan Tanas as well, too. Maybe we'll get some insight from Petros next hour on Dan Tanas.
Oh, I've had the trick apart there. It's good.
It's good?
I have to. Like that. I wish I would have gotten in on that game before it became popular to do this, where you do a food thing, because every Italian restaurant I go to, I usually get their chicken parm if they have it. And I've got like a little measuring scale for it. So I've had Dan Tanas. Really? It's very good.
So who's top three? Or are we saving that for like...
Maybe it's when we all three get together, you know?
Fair enough. Like
be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of General tires. Shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their general tires test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, we turn it over to the old P. Petros Papadakis, the co-host of the Petros and Money Show and analyst for Fox's college football coverage. And you can hear him on The Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports. P, what's happening? Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
A little late today, huh? What's going on? What are you guys doing? A lot of grab ass? Yeah, a lot of grab ass.
A lot of that stuff out there.
Calling this out.
LeVar has a question for you, Petro.
Did you watch the USC game where Caleb Williams was in attendance?
I saw the clip.
You saw the clip? Like, yep. What was your take on the clip?
That he's very comfortable with himself, much like Felix the Cat right on the corner of Figueroa and Jefferson there at the Felix Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I saw your new Toyota.
That was all I wanted. You
know. Can I tell you about the Felix the cat?
Yes.
Why he's like Caleb Williams?
Tell us.
That big, black, beautiful cat right there on the corner of Figueroa and Jefferson.
Whoa.
Well, number one, he's bent down at the knees, and that shows you that he has athleticism. He's ready to pounce.
Flexibility.
Yeah, with a great deal.
Okay.
On a Chevrolet or a Cadillac, or maybe an improvised throw after the offensive line protection inevitably breaks down.
Mm.
Also, he's pointing at you right there on whether you're driving on Figueroa or Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling you out, saying, I got a great deal for you.
Whoa. And, what deal would that be?
Well, you know, on a Chevrolet or Cadillac.
Or a
rookie quarterback deal. And also, he's got a hand on a hip. And you know why that is?
Why?
He's comfortable with his sexuality.
Okay.
He's got fiery green neon eyes.
Yep.
And sometimes that makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But those that are comfortable realize it's a great place to get a Chevrolet or a Cadillac. And the sign is a historical landmark here in the city of Los Angeles.
And we're talking about Felix.
Well, we're talking about both. I mean, he's right there, catty corner to the Galen Center. And Caleb is a guy who's obviously very comfortable and historic in his own right. Heisman Trophy winner.
Yep.
But, yeah.
I saw the clip.
He seems, you know, look, football is a certain way, and the guys that play football are a certain way. And maybe 2024 is different than it was when I played, but.
Petros, what about the new truck?
The Toyota Tacoma?
Yeah, I saw you posted
that. Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, the Tacoma. Yes, I've switched over, much like the Dodgers, to Japan.
Hmm.
And I've become I was with Chevrolet for a dozen years.
Great response for that.
And they fired me after 12 years of toiling and giving away trucks and driving a free truck. It was, you know, a dozen years is a long time.
That's a long time.
So, and then they fired us, or the guy that we worked with retired. And I used a Band-Aid dealership for a year here in town. And now I've gone to the SoCal Toyota Dealers Collective Group. And I drive a Tacoma.
Hmm. Hey, I got a Tacoma too, P.
Yes, he does.
And I noticed that I crack a lot of necks. It's like when you drive a Chevy, you crack the Chevy necks, and now I crack the Toyota necks.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it's a new truck. So everybody's like, oh, is that the new one? It's like, yeah, I don't do anything with it. I have no purpose.
Whose necks are you cracking? Like, what is a Toyota?
Workers.
Okay.
Laborers, Brady.
Look like.
Right. Laborers.
I wasn't sure if you're alluding to something else based on
you know
your
guys
initial...
that if they had their nails all manicured like Caleb Williams,
Brady
they'd just be
Quinn.
Destroyed.
Funny
work.
As hell, Brady Quinn. Oh,
I
my
thought he
gosh.
Was going to go a different.
You
direction.
You slid it in there. Pause. You snuck it in there.
I thought he was going a different direction.
Oh my god.
Is there anything you guys else want out of me here in this 8 minutes of radio?
Petros,
we want it all, Petros.
Petros, I have a question for you. Do you believe Shohei Ohtani's account of the gambling drama that went on
I was
the past
there.
Several days? Yeah.
I was there for the press conference. You know, it's not often that I'm actually like a functional member of the media. You know what I mean? Like in practice. So that was kind of interesting because I've been to
practice.
Dodger. You know what I mean? I've been to Dodger Stadium, I don't know, 30, 40 times a year, every year for the last 10 whatever years we've carried the Dodgers, not to mention that I've grown up here, and I've been there for World Series, all kinds of different events, Mookie Betts showing up, Adrian Gonzalez, all these different things that have happened over the years that were big news in the moment. I've never, and Matt and I were talking about this, never seen Dodger Stadium like that. And it was an exhibition game. And the reason it was like that was for this press conference. And we waited in a line for 2 hours to get our credential. And eventually just walked out of the line and walked into Dodger Stadium, like you know us, right? Because we had to start the show. It was crazy. I mean, just the collective of Japanese media. And they're so polite. They don't get mad at you if you cut in line. Or they get mad, but they don't say anything.
Nothing. Never mind.
I was really surprised at how candid he was. He went for 11 minutes. Of course, there's still some missing pieces and some holes and the whole thing. But look, if there's a federal investigation going on and an MLB investigation going on, and you stand up there and say, I've never gambled on anything. I've been completely lied to. I am innocent. I'm shocked by this. That doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room. I mean, that is, you know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. So he's very, I mean, that is taking a stand where he didn't have to. I mean, he really, all he had to do if he was going to do anything is, I thought we was just going to say, hey, there's a legal investigation. We're not able to talk about this. Please respect our privacy. The truth will come out. I'll be exonerated. Like, none of that weird little legalese. It was much more him trying to explain himself. And it wasn't super clear, but it was interesting, no doubt about it. And it's just been a nightmare for the Dodgers. I mean, last year they had Julio Urias with the terrible domestic violence issue. The year before was the big Bauer controversy. Yeah. And now, I mean, this is potentially globally impactful, and there's a gigantic investigation shadowing the team while they start one of the most anticipated seasons in Dodger history, if not the most. So certainly a wild time, and it was crazy to kind of be part of it and be in the middle of it.
Would you think about, like, kind of not sitting him out, but I guess for lack of a better term, because they're not going to put him on like an exempt list. Would you think about
doing
that?
He's going to play. Like after the press conference, he went over.
Play. Like I know. But would you think about like sitting him just to try to remove the distraction from the guys who are getting ready to play the season until it's figured out?
I think it would be more of a distraction if you remove him. I mean, there's nothing you can do that where this is not a distraction. I guess they just have to kind of lean into it. And like I was saying, like...
Start gambling more?
I don't know. Just...
Everything's a gambling reference?
Start the season like it's... Yeah. Open the windows at the stadium, you know. But no, just start the season like it's the season. I mean, that's basically what they're doing. And what was interesting to me is right after the press conference, he trotted over to left field at Dodger Stadium, followed by... And it literally looked like in a cartoon where it's like a big dust ball of like people trampling over to one place or another. It was like a huge horde of media trampled over to the edge of the left field where there's a roped off area. And he threw for the first time off a flat ground because he's recovering from a Tommy John. So not only did he do the press conference, he went and performed for the media and threw. Basically saying, yeah, I did the press conference, and now look, my arm's getting better, and I'm doing this. So I don't know what they can do other than just say there's an investigation, and Shohei didn't do anything, and this guy, I guess, Ipe Mizuhara, the translator, is a lot like Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie, you know, Catch Me If You Can, just a diabolical liar that... Everybody bought for whatever reason. It's a complicated story, and guys like you and I really, I think, are more skeptical about it, even though I don't understand gambling as much as others. But there's this weird English second language or English not really used at all, and he said that. He didn't understand what Ipe was saying to the team in Korea, and he was giving them misinformation when he was explaining the situation. I mean, there's a lot of weird gray area here and a lot to unpack, and we're already talking about a very mysterious guy. I don't see why you guys just have to keep harping on him. It's very clear that he's a great baseball player who had a diabolical, evil Svengali best friend who now just wants to spend time with his secret wife.
And
leave him alone.
And listen,
let me be with my secret wife.
And I got news for you. If it comes out that he is a degenerate gambler, I'm not going to judge him. That's fine. If he's not betting on baseball or if he's not fixing games, doesn't bother me.
Well, yeah, why is it a story? Well, if there's one thing I'm against in this world, you know, everybody's got their crusade. You know, some people are against pills. Some people are against the pollution.
Nail polish.
Yeah, LeVar doesn't like it if a guy's got a little swagger in him, you know. Looks like he could be in the Village People.
I didn't say that.
I didn't know you
and
didn't
I
say
And I sing YMCA.
I should
I say YMCA.
And you know what they say, LeVar. In the Navy, you can sail the seven seas.
But,
oh, wow. All right.
But the one thing that I'm really against, guys, like the one thing I really take a stand against and I really have a problem with is wire fraud. Mm. Wire fraud is like, to me, you might as well be a mass murderer. This sending money across state lines illegally, somebody's got to go down for that. Someone's got to pay. Great. So, you know, and that was the funny thing, like in that first ESPN report where the Ipe guy was like, yeah, you know, Shohei, you know, he gave me the money. And it's like, well, that can't, if that's true, then it's wire fraud. And Shohei just committed a federal crime. Right. And so they had to walk that back. I guess so. It's very, very complicated, and I might not be the guy to ask. But the funny thing is like, you know, right after this happened, getting calls from all these people like, he's totally clean. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to worry about that.
Who said that? That sounds like somebody I've
heard
before.
Sounds like someone we know.
Yeah. I believe him.
Okay. All right. Well. I was going to say, so that's your best guess? Nothing comes from this?
Well, if you already stood up and said, I've never had sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I mean, there's not, you know, there's a whole too big to fail element too, right? Like a lot of people make a lot of money off Otani and they might want to protect him.
Yeah, so but that's translator.
That's also hard to believe though, right? Like would the FBI and MLB collaborate to protect this guy? The state of California is not too happy with them about all the deferred money. They want that tax money. Yeah.
Gavin Newsom or Nancy Pelosi on this issue?
Yeah.
Where indeed?
Wine tasting.
Or underneath a huge pile of trash in San Francisco. They're trying to talk about it, but they're encumbered. They're like in that weird trash compactor in Star Wars.
They're counting sleeping bags.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, but certainly it is the most unique and crazy story. Just to think that the Dodgers only had 3 hours of non-controversy in their season while they were playing in Korea, and all of a sudden this thing hit like a ton. I mean, think of the timing of the story and then wonder where it came from and how, why, and what is going to happen as far as it playing out. It's it really is kind of confounding. And it's too big for me to decipher, especially in 8 minutes at this time of morning.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think you did a great job, Petros.
Well, I don't know what you guys were doing in the first segment. I mean, it must have been some real grab ass.
Real grab ass.
A lot of grab ass going on.
Get him on Twitter, at the
OP. I mean, the guy does a few dances in the stands at a women's game, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like he's a Cisco.
Thanks, P. We'll do it again next week. There he is, Petros Papadakis, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.